Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. The point of the verses there is Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A verse that is commonly thrown out to suppose that whatever Jesus Christ taught in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John while he was in his earthly ministry here, to say that, see, whatever he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, so whatever he said back then is good for us today, right? No, good. I got a couple of no's and a couple of head shakes. And that's commonly what is used to explain away right division or the dispensation of the grace of God or Paul's gospel. We look at some stuff here as we get through. But going to the context, if you take the verse in context, you don't need to be pretext. You don't have to explain it away or suppose that it means something else. Words mean what they say. And if this is God's word, I believe every word in it. How about you? King James Bible? Yeah. All right, let's go. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The whole point of studying is not to have a teacher or a preacher that follows you around daily and is able to say, oh, you shouldn't do that in this point here. You should do this instead. And this is what the gospel says. This is what the Bible says, how we should act and how we should study. I was taught through Grace School of the Bible, Pastor Jordan, to be able to go into God's Word and study it for myself. Even Paul said, you know, Paul left, he didn't stay here forever. He left us his words, and those words are God's words, and that's what we should have in our mind and in our hearts so that we could understand his word. Without clear understanding, you might as well all just go fishing and I'll go with you. But here in Proverbs, in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about something that is referenced from Deuteronomy chapter 31. If you hold your place in Hebrews, if you could do that, and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. And we're going to get the context of what that verse is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we'll start in verse 3. It says, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee and will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So it's in Deuteronomy chapter 21. In 31:6, it says, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That is another way of God saying he's going to be faithful to what he just said. He's going to stick with you. What did he do to the king of the Amorites? It says there in verse 4 that he destroyed them. So as the Lord destroyed those nations, he will keep you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. At the end of verse 6 there, which is proving out God's faithfulness. And that's basically what this is. He's faithful to do what he said he's going to do. And I believe that. How about you? Amen? Got an amen there. God got an amen. The scriptures pick up on the verses in Deuteronomy. You're holding your place in Hebrews 13, and I didn't. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5, we didn't read that verse. And it says there, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be constant with such, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is the context now going to be in Hebrews 13? God's faithfulness. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What's going on in Hebrews 13 in the mind of the writer here? There's persecution happening, and he's saying, God will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. They're doing what they're saying. And verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. Thank you very much. That's what Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is saying to these people here. That verse that is mistaken, Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, is saying that he's faithful no matter if it was yesterday, if it was today, or it's in eternity, forever. That's what the verse is saying. There are other verses that do the same thing, and you have to go into context. The whole reason for this is people taking the words that Jesus Christ said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the kingdom, and they're taking them for something that fits in the time here in the body of Christ, and it doesn't fit. You've got law and grace and I'm going to try to get ahead of myself, but I better back up. And let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the last book of your Old Testament. No, not the last book, but it's close. Malachi 3, verse 6, says this. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. All right, so here's a verse. Jesus Christ, whatever he taught in the Gospels, he says here, I change not. So, does he change? The Lord is confirming a promise. The context of Malachi chapter 3 is about judgment. Verse 5, Malachi 3, 5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against adulterers and against false witnesses and against those that oppress a hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. I change not is the next verse. He says, I'm going to be faithful to judge those that are not true to my word. He's going to be faithful. If you transgress God's word, is he going to take care of that? Is he going to have the final word? Right. Just like, you know, there's a place preserved for all liars. Those people that have not trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior today, he's going to be faithful to that also. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, and have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, I change not. In Deuteronomy 28, it says in other places, if you obey my commandments and do them, then I will bless you. If you don't do my commandments and turn from me, I forget exactly how it goes, I will curse you. Thank you. And so God here, the Lord says in his word that you have returned to me and I will return to you. And that they've robbed God in tithes and offerings. So you are cursed with a curse. That's something there that he said something in Deuteronomy, and if they turn from that, they're going to get cursed. And God is going to be faithful. The Lord is faithful to what he says there. Bring me now, prove me now, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herein, saith the Lord of hosts. If not, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out of blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We all ought to get our wallets out right now and start waiting for the windows of heaven to open up. That's what he said. He's faithful there. The whole point of this is showing that he's faithful to whatever he said he's going to do. And if he said he's going to pour out in prophecy, that's what we're reading back here in the Old Testament, prophecy. The main division in Scripture is prophecy and mystery, not Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, and probably most of you already have got that down. But prophecy is what we're looking at right now. And the thing that we're going to see is when Jesus Christ, he changes, but not in the sense that people that misuse the verse yesterday, today, and forever, he does change, but not in that sense. He changes, well, again, let's go to the book of Psalms, please, chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90, verse 2. And if you want, I'll just read these. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The verse in Hebrews that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever defines his character, his attributes, and who he is. He will never change from being holy, will he? He will never change from being perfect. He will never change that part of him. He's always God, whether it was in time past, but now in ages to come. Psalms 102:25. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as the vesture they shall change them, and they shall be changed. There's something going to be changed, but you're going to stay the same. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. He's everlasting. And so part of his essence is he's everlasting. He's always God. He's always holy. And that's what the verse, and he's always faithful to do what he said he's going to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be his word. There's a verse in Titus 1:2. I call it my 1:2 verse. 1:2 punch. It's in hope of eternal life. Oh, gosh. One of my favorite verses, too. That in hope of eternal life, that God who cannot lie promised before the world began. He promised eternal life before the world began in hope of eternal life. That's something that he promised us, right? I'm counting on it. By golly, when I die, and I'm not going to stand before St. Peter. I'll be standing before the Lord. And if he asks why I should be allowed into his glorious heaven with him forever, he says, because you said so. Because you promised it to me, and he has to stay true to his word. That's how confident I am in the words in this book. I'm basing my eternal life, rather than going to hell like I should be, he saved me at the cross. He's faithful to what he said he was going to do. John chapter 1, as in the beginning, you probably know the verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in his before he started everything, he was God, he was the Word of God, he had glory, and he had full knowledge. And so he doesn't change in that sense. But let's look at a couple of verses. He's always God. He's always a creator. And the Word was made flesh. There's a change. The Father sent the Son, Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So here the law is coming into effect. And here the Father has sent the Son. Where did the Son used to live? In heaven. And He had all full glory with God the Father. But God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, the verse says. Let's read some of these here. John chapter 5. I'm just going to read some verses because I've taken a few verses out of context. No. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of God can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. A lot of words there to say, I'm doing whatever the Father asks me to do or tells me to do. So He has limited something called what? Knowledge. As Jesus Christ walked this earth, it's probably debated in some arenas, that He limited His knowledge of, His full knowledge of what was going to happen. And we have verses to verify that. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. Matthew 24:36 says, Of that day and hour knoweth no man, speaking of the second coming of Christ, the end of the world. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, and not the angels of heaven. And in Mark 13:32, it says, Not the Son either. The Son, He eliminated Himself from knowing when the end of the world was. So He limited His knowledge, He limited His glory. We have to see some other things. But why did he change His form? He didn't change His essence, did He? Jesus Christ is still fully God. You know that those words, that hypostatic and theanthropic? I'm not saying that to show you how much I think I know. But because before I saw a watermelon, I didn't know what a watermelon was. So until you hear the words that pertain to Jesus Christ as He is fully God and fully man, you wouldn't know what they meant. So I'm just helping along with definition, that's all. But that's something that He did. He veiled Himself in man as God sent Him to earth, born of a virgin according to the law. But the verses say, I change not. But He did, didn't He? Did He? He changed His form. For what reason? He had to accomplish something, didn't He? On the cross. Only God could do that. Only the spotless Lamb of God could do that. So He did change in a sense, but not in His essence. He was always God, and He willingly became a servant. We'll read the verses in Philippians. Oh, here they are right here. Philippians chapter 2. We'll need to see those verses. Philippians 2. Oops, wrong way. Philippians 2. And it talks about having this mind in you, which was in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:6. It says, Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew who He was, and He knew His essence. But He says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He did something, and He did it on His own willingly. Philippians 2:7 says, But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He abased Himself. He became humble. And it's actually the same idea of neutralizing his glory. Instead of going in with a heavy hand and wiping out the enemy right off the bat, he became humble and showed everyone what it took to love. Became obedient. I'll read the next verse. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So there was something. He became obedient. He did change something. He had to show obedience, and he had to be the spotless Lamb of God. God planned something a long time ago, what would happen. And Jesus Christ needed to fulfill that, and to fulfill that, he had to change his form to complete a function that he had. And so without changing his exterior form that we can see and know, he would have been in eternity past, and we would have never known him at the cross, the loving Savior, the punishment that he went through, the death that he went through for us. I love you. Second Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich." Not with finances, with spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And he didn't lose that essence of being God, but he did come and he limited himself. You know that if he limited his knowledge, what did he have to do to walk, to understand? "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business," he says. How did he know that? Scriptures. He knew the scriptures, and he knew in part. He didn't know everything. He limited his knowledge. But in doing that, like us, what do we have to have faith in? We have to have faith. He believed God the Father when the Father talked to him. "Whatever my Father do," I forget how the verse goes. "Whatever I see, I do. My Father do." He listened to his Father. And that was his faith. Hebrews 11:3, it talks about he was faithful in all his house. Oh, there's other ones. Romans 3:20-21. Anyone? "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that..." By faith of Jesus Christ. You can even go into a Scofield Bible and it'll say faith in Jesus Christ. That's not the translation from it. It's faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's faithfulness. You can find that again in other places where they take the faith of Christ. He had to be faithful. For us to be faithful, we don't see the end of the story, do we? No, but we have to believe what God said. "I believe there is a heaven." Why? "Because you said so?" No, Jim, I don't mean you. He sings about it. But there's something that he needed to do. He had to be faithful. And he's showing us something. And he's proving something out, that there is someone in this universe that can be perfect, and it's him, the spotless Lamb of God. "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Some people will say, "Christ said it, I believe it," and that settles it. You ever hear someone say that to you? Oh, is that right? Candy, Cootie, Woody? No, we'll have to sing that one again sometime. But they say he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, whatever he says in Scripture must be good for today. And if you know I'll read the verse, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I didn't hear any amens on that. Or the other response is, how's that working for you? He remains the same. He changes not. He's faithful to what he said he's going to do. But he said, go into all the world. Mark 16, Matthew 28, John 20, Acts 1 are all talking about commissions that Jesus Christ was here on earth, and he gave them a commission to go, and I'll read this one, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, they shall drink any, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, if Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, why do we have COVID-19? Why do we have any sicknesses? Why do we have hospitals? There was no hospital plan for the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the healer. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What did Jesus Christ teach his 12 disciples? The dispensation of grace? He taught them law. And he said in there, and I've got like a series of verses here, with snapshots of what goes on in those chapters, and it said, repent for the kingdom of heaven at hand, forgive to be forgiven, sacrifice, temple, the priesthood, go not into the way of the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, provide neither gold nor silver, oh, that's a touchy spot, to Israel only, keep the commandments for eternal life, do the law, Matthew 23, and teach what I've commanded you. So in order to do that, you have to take and jump yourself back over here into this arena where prophecy is being taught and fulfilled in part. And that's what those verses talk about, Jesus Christ being faithful to fulfill what he promised. But there's a change. In Galatians, and if you're listening, put your ears on and tell me something. It says, Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How do you fit that verse into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They didn't even know he was going to go die for the sins back there. And there's a whole other thing about the gospel there. Paul calls it my gospel. If righteousness comes by the law, by doing what he said, go teach what I taught you, and he taught them the law. And if at a later time he calls down the apostle Paul, and Paul, writing by inspiration of God, says if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He wouldn't have had to come and die if righteousness comes that way, but that's the whole reason he went to the cross, was to die for our sins and allow us. Galatians 2:7. If I get a little upset here, you'll know why. It says, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking here. So there's the gospel of the uncircumcision committed to me, the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter. Did I say that right? Did I say uncircumcision? Okay, good. And I go to the internet to find out what people don't know. I said that right. The key theme, and I went and I texted the meaning of Hebrews 13:8. And you get all these 100 different things. But the key theme of the book, I'm reading what someone else said, so I'm quoting, in fact, is the idea that God's plan does not change. Using Old Testament scripture, the writer showed how the new covenant is not about God changing his mind or his nature. Instead, it was always God's intent to replace the old covenant with the new. I agree with that. That's perfect. Okay? Truth itself does not change. Okay? Jesus instructed his disciples to pass along his teachings, Matthew 28, not to develop their own. Paul sought to confirm that the gospel he preached was exactly the same as that of the disciples, and he quotes Galatians 2 in there. Jesus Christ does not change, and neither does his gospel. God does not change, neither does his truth. Jesus and his gospel are timeless, changeless, and eternal. He's using an NIV. And we can talk about that another time. I've already stated that in the past. They changed the words. And I'll show you another spot that does that, and it waters down right division. I don't care about what else you say. It waters down right division. It waters down the name of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And it is, if you're not studying out of a King James Bible, that's Satan's best, one of his best tools. I said one of his best tools. Because he's taken God's word and he's changed it for his good. Because he's now clouding the gospel, he's clouding right division. If I don't know and understand right division, I don't know the gospel. I could hear it. And I could say I believe it, but then what are you going to do? You're going to come back here and start doing all this stuff too. If you mix law and grace, it doesn't work, does it? Paul says in Ephesians 1, according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the world began, God promised something. Just as much as he promised, Jesus Christ was Romans 15:8, that Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, right? Who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on, under prophecy. But Paul says here that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Does God have to be faithful to what he promised before the world even started? Yeah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful in what he does, only he changes how he dishes out. I'm going to say that this way, that he dishes out his righteousness. He gave them righteousness under the law, Deuteronomy 6:25. This is our righteousness, or this is our righteousness to do all the law. And James says if you offend in one point, you've broken the whole thing. Righteousness does not come by the law, else Christ was dead in vain. You can't jump over here and start grabbing verses from here and then come over here and say, I'm saved by grace. You're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. Work is not grace and grace is not works. It was hidden God, kept secret, and it was faithful. God had to change his form, his appearance. He changed his where he lived from heaven. He changed and came to earth. His change. You talk about a change. God sent the Son. He died on the cross. His body went into the grave, right? His soul went into the heart of the earth, and his spirit, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He changed, but his essence didn't change. That's not the meaning of the verse. To misunderstand, I wrote down a statement here. Here it is. You cannot use Hebrews 13:8 to explain away right division or the mystery. You cannot use Hebrews 13:8 to claim promises that are not current in God's plan. And God changed his form to complete a function of faithfulness. He changed his ministry because he had promised in himself. You know God talks to himself? Sorry. Watch for lightning bolts. In eternity past, God promised us eternal life. Who did he promise it to? Himself. He promised within the Godhead that we would have this. And he has to remain faithful to what he said. He says, I change not in respect of being faithful. And just as much as I said that about promises, if you don't accept the Son, he's faithful to send you to hell. And so believing that Christ died for your sins, if you've never done that, understand that today, that Christ did that for you. He died for your sins. He died for our sins, that we might live eternally with him in glory. I would rather him be faithful that way to me rather than sending me to hell. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're glad now for the words in the page of this book that we rely on for eternal life and how to live our daily lives also. All because of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.